Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. We know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and our job is to exalt Him. Woo! Give Him praise, be thankful, and bless His holy name. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be grateful because everything that He's done, He didn't have to do it. Think about that. Think about that. Everything that He is doing, He don't have to do it. He's not obligated to do it. He's only doing it because of His love, glory to God, that He has for mankind. For His love that He has for you and for me. That's why He does what He does. Because He loves us. The scripture today is, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Glory to God. Psalms 71 and 1. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come today, God, thanking you, Master, for your many blessings that you continue to shower upon us, God. Lord, it's blessings that we see and we blessings that we don't see. But we thank you, God. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you right now, and we bless his holy name. Oh, we thank you. Yes. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful, I said. We are grateful for the many blessings that you continue to shower upon us. You continue to shower blessings on us, even when many times we don't deserve it. You're blessing us. And we just say hallelujah. Hallelujah to you. Glory to your holy name. And we thank you right now. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And we say amen, amen. And we thank God. We thank God for the opportunity that he has given us. Yes. Many things are going on right now. And look at that young lady over there in Russia. Yes. I look at that. How she's gotten herself in a situation where she's detained. And she can't move. She don't have the freedom that she had here. She don't have that freedom. I look at that. Yes. Oh, glory to God. Have mercy on her. Oh, God. I look up at her. And I think about many of us who have our freedom. We're able to move. We're able to do and go and whatever we want to do. And we just don't appreciate. We don't appreciate. We're not thankful. We're not grateful. We just think it always has to be this way. Everybody's going to treat me this way. No, no, no. We have to realize. And I really need to be talking to the young people. We need to realize that it's through the goodness and the mercy of God. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else. Not a mama, not a daddy, not an auntie, not a mama. It's not them. It's only through the grace and the mercy of God. Our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. It's only through him and his son that we're able to stand, that we have the freedom, that we can move and have this being, oh God, that we're in our right mind. Yes. It's only through him. It's not nothing that we have done. We have not accomplished anything that he hasn't sent us through. Nothing. Remember, we can do nothing without him. Glory to God. Yes, yes, yes. So we just want to focus on our topic tonight. Different ways to be a caregiver. And, you know, we see that word caregiver, and we say, caregiver? Oh, that's the people that take care of people. Well, we're going to talk about the different caregivers that we see, the different caregivers that really do exist. Because, see, we just take everybody and everything and lump it into one category, and that is not how it's done many times. Being a caregiver is easy for some, but for others, it may be somewhat of a challenge. Yes. Some may have been born with this gift of caring, and they never noticed it before, never noticed that they have this gift, while others had to be trained. Nurses, babysitters, child care workers, nursing home workers, patient helpers. You had to be trained. Yeah. But then some of us were born. This was a gift. Yeah, it's a gift that only God, hallelujah, only God could give you. You could see it sometime in the children when they're like in, oh, I would say that may show up when they're about in kindergarten. In kindergarten, you could see it if they're taking care of somebody else that's sitting next to them. You could see this. If you are spiritually inclined, watch the children. Just look at them. Don't just look at them in the natural. Look at the kids in the physical, in the spiritual, in the spiritual realm. And you'll see many times the gifts, as young as they are, those gifts are on exhibit. Oh, yeah. As a teacher of Sunday school for more than 20 years, I can tell you between Sunday school and vocation Bible school, I have seen, and should I say, youth Bible study, I have seen these spirits moving in these young people. I have seen young folks who are caregivers. I have seen young folks who will rise up to be missionaries. I have seen young boys who will be deacons and will be ministers. I have seen this, and I have stood over many and prophesied and told them that I have seen this gift. And it's in you, son. It's in you, girl. It's there. And then I'll ask them, do you want that gift? Do you want it? And if they said to me, oh, yeah, I want that gift, well, we're going to pray right now and receive it. And they're young. And they may not remember, but God, hallelujah, woo, He don't forget. Glory to God. So whether you were born with this or just had a strong desire to have this gift, So most folks who wear these titles are geared at overseeing. Basically, that's what they do. They're overseeing others. That's what they do. And most of them, we see that they give unconditionally. We saw that during the pandemic. We saw those nurses. Yeah. We saw the doctors. When they were overwhelmed, and how they protected their family, how some of them stayed at the hospitals and didn't go home. We saw this. Yes. Or you read it. You read it somewhere. It's on some website. You could read their experience, how they felt, how they were overwhelmed. But they were caregivers, and they didn't want to give up. They didn't want to give in. They didn't want to bring their hands and hold their hands up and say, I can't do it. Why? Because they were obligated. They felt strongly obligated. Oh, yeah. A caregiver. That's what we're talking about. Now, I just want to remind you that there were good caregivers. There are good caregivers. I just named that. They're good ones, and then they also have the bad caregivers. Many times we've heard of suicidal medical people who have caused people to perish before it was time, or just did all kind of things to some of the elderly folks. We've heard it. Yeah, we've read stories. We've seen things like that. They do happen. They do happen. It does exist. So you do have some caregivers that get in these positions, and they shouldn't be in that position because their heart is not right. Huh? So this is what we want to talk about, the caregiver. Mm-hmm. So let's start with some. Let's start with some that are not so good caregivers. Mm-hmm. Some that may even have a different name. Yeah. Because, you know, we just say caregiver, and that's what we just lumped everybody into caregivers. Well, we're going to talk about the different titles. So here we see that there is a title that's called a taskmaster. A taskmaster. T-A-S-K. Master. What is a taskmaster? A taskmaster is one who employs, he imposes a task of a burden, of hard labor of some sort on folks. He's a taskmaster. So he's a master of granting oppression. So he oppresses. He doesn't come to make you feel happy. He doesn't come to bring you joy. If anything, he wants to, what do you want to do? He want to harm you. He want to hurt you. And finally, he will eventually kill you. Yes, if it becomes necessary. He's a taskmaster. And we're going to see that the taskmaster was in the book of Exodus, chapter 1. And we're going to do verse 8 through 11. And it says here in verse 8, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Now, we know the story about Joseph, how Joseph was a king under Pharaoh. But you know what? I want you to remember one thing about the Bible. The Bible is a book that renames folks, renames. I had to learn that, too, when I was doing genealogy with my family, how my family renamed. And I was wondering, where do they get that from? Well, they get it from the Bible. The Bible is a book where you see many generations with the same name. So here we see a Pharaoh. There was a Pharaoh before this Pharaoh. Okay? So this is a Pharaoh. Yeah. So here in verse 9, and it says, and he said to his people, behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is a Pharaoh. And he's watching the people. He's looking at the people that have come into the city and how all of a sudden they have grown, they have multiplied. Because, you know, the scripture said for us to multiply. Well, they had multiplied, and they were multiplying, and it was a continuous of multiplication. So this Pharaoh, who was the leader, he became what? Fearful. Fear is great. Fear is, I would say, one of the major players that Satan used, fear. Fear can come and flow quickly. It can spread fast, and it can multiply in all areas, community, churches, jobs. Fear is mighty and it's powerful. Yes. 10, come, he said, let us deal shrewdly with them. Lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemy and fight against us and escape from the land. Fear. Out of fear. Out of fear comes talking. Out of fear comes weird thinking. Out of fear comes no injustice. No righteousness lies in fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of something I'm not sure about. Fear when I never heard of it before. I become fearful. And this is where he was. He was fearful. Why? Because most of the time they wanted to be a large group. It wanted to be more of them and less of the other. But he was actually looking, and he noticed that it became more of the Israelites. Yes. So here we see Pharaoh. Pharaoh was of Egypt. Yes. Come on now. Stay with me. Mm-hmm. So he said, come let us deal. He wanted to deal with them. So he wanted to plot. He wanted to plan how they were going to do this. Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about here? We are talking about how the caregivers, and many times the caregivers could be leaders too. Leaders could be caregivers. Think about that. We see them in different positions all over. And they're supposed to be caregiving. But instead of caregiving, they're giving care to themselves and not to the folks that they're supposed to give care to. Come on, stay with me. So out of fear, out of the unknown, he begins to speak, and the things that he began to say were totally ungodly. Look at 11, it says, therefore they set the taskmaster. Who is the taskmaster? The taskmaster over, they set them over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh, they built the cities. So what had happened here, they became enslaved. And they became enslaved through who? The taskmaster, the one who was placed in charge to what? Care for them. Huh? We see that today, the taskmasters, who's supposed to care for the community, the taskmaster, who's supposed to care for the states, or the government, the world. Look at the taskmasters that we see. What are they doing? Are they doing the right thing towards the people? So it says here that they built the Pharaoh store cities in Pithom and Ramses. As it says here, as Ramses, as a boy's name, is related to the Egyptian name, Ramses. The meaning of Ramses in Egyptian is the sun god. So here we see the children of Israel, who's supposed to be what? Calling on the Almighty God, was enslaved to build statues of a false god. Why? Because they were enslaved, huh? To the taskmaster. The one who was supposed to be in charge. The one who came to oppress. Yes, this is the taskmaster. We're talking about caregivers. Now, he's caring. Oh, yeah, he's caring. But he's caring for what? To build for what they need. Mm-hmm. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. And we see this today. We see it. So he cared just enough. Just enough to be the oppressor, to kill, to rob, steal, kill. That's what the scripture said. But to rob, steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Yeah. Yes. The taskmaster. Let's look quickly in the book of Acts. Let's see if we have two more. In the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. The main verse to this is verse 30, which I'm going to paraphrase this whole little thing real quick. Here we see here in the book of Acts, we're talking about Paul and Silas. We see Paul and Silas were praying, and they were singing hymns. Where were they? They were in prison. And they were what? They were the prisoners. The other prisoners were listening to them, because most of the time when you're in prison, you're concerned about how you're going to get out of there. You don't want to stay. You're not interested in no singing. But they were listening to them because there was no other way or no other means. There was no way they could stop them from singing. Huh? So they were listening to them praying and singing and talking to God. And then all of a sudden, it says here, an earthquake came, and it began to shake the prison. It began to shake it real violently. Huh? Now, when all this was happening, the prisoners that weren't listening to Paul and Silas singing, they were asleep. Yeah. So here we see in the prison, who is in charge? Who's in charge of the prison? The prison guard. He's the caregiver. Mm-hmm. He's the one that's in charge. He's the caregiver. The prison guard. Look at that. What does the prison guard do? The prison guard, he oversees. That's what he does. He oversees and makes sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. The prison guard, he is the caregiver. So just so happened in this particular story, we see that the prison guard, he was asleep too. Now, usually, let's just go a little, get a little deep in here. Usually the prison guard is not supposed to be asleep. He's supposed to be alert because he's supposed to be doing rounds and checking and making sure everybody is doing what they're supposed to do in the prison cell. But this prison guard was asleep. I want you to stay with me real with this. So he wasn't violent. It was nothing in the story that said people were being beaten. People were being beaten or people were being mistreated. Didn't say anything about that. It just said that this guard was asleep. And so it said that when this prison guard, he woke up from the earthquake, from the shaking of the jail, and he just knew that his prisoners had all ran out and had escaped. And then when he got up, he had his sword pulled because he thought somebody was going to come and attack him. And he saw Paul and Silas. They didn't go nowhere. They were still late. Now, it, to me, I'm just going to use my little sanctified imagination here, but it, to me, when everybody was asleep, the prison guard, he heard Paul and Silas singing too. There was no way that he couldn't have heard them because everybody in the prison was quiet and they were supposed to be sleeping. And Paul and Silas was praying and talking to God. And so this guard, he heard them also. Sound like a setup? It sounded like a setup to me. And that's what I, when I was reading this, it said, sound like a setup. It sounded like a sanctified setup. It sounded like something that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, glory to God, was set up. You see, when he when he's coming for you, and when he really wants to get you, and when he it's, when it's your time, oh yeah, when it's your time to have a relationship with him, he gonna come and get you. He gonna come and get you. So here we see that when he realized that nobody had left, that the gates were the gates were open, but they were still late. What he said? He turned to him and he said, what? He wanted to know. He wanted to know this God. He wanted to know who their God was. Glory to God. So what he was saying in essence was, I want to be saved. I want to have a relationship with this God that you're singing and praying, and I have been listening to you. I want that. Yeah. Think about it. When God sets forth to come and get you, when he come and get you, oh, yeah. Yes. He's telling us right here and here about the caregiver. He was a caregiver now. But he was a caregiver that was meek, and he was a caregiver that was humble. Yes, and he paid attention. That was the most key thing to this story. He was listening, and he was alert, and he was paying attention to what the believers in Christ were saying. And he desired to have a relationship. Glory to God. He wanted that. He wanted the same thing, and he said that. I want to know. I'm just paraphrasing. I want to know who that Jesus is that you've been talking about, that you've been praying to. I want to know. Glory to God. Glory to God. A caregiver, an overseer. But he wasn't a taskmaster. No, he wasn't a taskmaster. Glory to God. Yeah. Think about this. This could have been, this could have turned out bad. Think about it. When he jumped up, he had his weapon pulled. He could have went just swinging and harmed people and maybe killed some of the prisoners, but he didn't. By the hand of the Almighty God, he was able to notice. He was able to see. Nobody went anywhere. Everybody was right here. Everybody was accounted for. Look at the verses. Everybody was accounted for. The doors were open, but nobody went anywhere. Glory to God. Sound like a setup to me. Sound like God was coming and he was saying, hey, we coming for you, prison guard. We coming for you today. Huh? And we coming with our arms stretched wide open. And we standing here asking you to come. So through prayer and through song and through praises, the prison guard, the caregiver, yeah, he was able to come. Let's go quickly to the book of Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. It's just one verse. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Caregivers. Protection. He's a redeemer. Company keeper. Oh, glory to God. Look at Deuteronomy 33 and 27 said, the eternal God is your refuge and dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Huh? He drove the enemy before you and thrust them out, saying, what? Destroy, destroy, destroy. He is the everlasting Father, who is our refuge. And in time of trouble, what? He shows up. He shows up. He is our dwelling place. Huh? Where the hedges of protection all around us. Glory to God. Yeah. It said that the fiery darts, they may come, but they will not succeed. Did you hear what I said? They may come, but they will not succeed to destroy. We may be cast down. We may be cast out, but we are not destroyed. Did you hear me? We get up. Glory to God. Yeah. His arms surround us. And his loving arms keep us. Mm-hmm. His arms keep us when we call. His arms protect us. His arms shields us. Glory to God. Yeah. Well, all we have to do is to lean on him. Lean on him, I said. Trust him and never doubt. He will surely bring you up. Whatever it is, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it look like. And many times before it get any better, it's going to look worse. But you stay on it. Stay on it. Stay trusting. Stay believing. Knowing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is the caregiver. He is the protector. He is the redeemer. He is the company keeper. Oh, yes, he is. He is our Savior. Yeah. And he cares about all of us. Mm-hmm. And he gives of himself. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. When he went to that old ragged cross for us, that's what he did. He gave up himself for us. So he will speak to the enemy, and he will tell the enemy that he will be destroyed. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for this word. We thank you, God, for using us, oh God. And we bless your holy name. We thank each and everyone that's here on this line tonight. We ask that you come back on the same number tomorrow morning, early and bright, with God Service Ministries. We're going to have a hallelujah time. Yes. A hallelujah time, I said. In the Lord. Mm-hmm. We just keep trusting and we just keep believing, knowing that he is God, and besides him, there is no other. Yeah, he is the greatest caregiver. Because he cares for all of us. Yes, yes. So tomorrow morning, God Favorite Ministries, we see you Be blessed.